Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
And now, let's dive into today's episode.
It helped me to recognize the lack of love and what that can do to a person.
Well, when it gets to a steaming point, I'll just say, you know, we need to stop. It
took my life because I was starting to suppress myself with drugs and drinking and alcohol.
That it's possible to overcome, that it's possible to change.
She has a way of connecting with people, and she has a way of reaching inside your soul and tugging on those cords to help you to heal from your past trauma.
We'll get started right after this message. If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to pre-order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. And now, back to the show.
Here with the Benedicts, we're so glad to have you here, as I said, today. And so we're going to start off with something kind of basic. We ask this of all of our couples, but we'd like to hear from each of you about what makes you and your spouse a kick-ass couple.
I'll let you start.
Oh, that's easy. Communication and the respect. And since the beginning of our relationship and when we did fall in love, we kept that respect of the love and we nurtured that love even after we got married. Because there's a normalcy once you get married and then, you know, you don't respect that love and it kind of starts deteriorating a little bit because, you know, you're married and things become, you know, routine. And we made sure that the love that we do have and the love that we were nurturing, you know, in the beginning was every day since the time that we've met.
Beautiful. What a great response. Yeah.
Thank you.
That. Yeah. And I'll add to that too. So I think the other thing that makes us a kick-ass couple is Teresa and I, you know, not only own and operate our own agency, it's called the Automation Agency. So we're both the co-owners and co-founders of the company. So we both work within the business and we both work on our relationship each and every day. And I think that as Teresa mentioned, it takes actively listening. And when situations arise, like whether it be challenges in the relationship or challenges that you're facing in life, it's about how you embrace and not push away from those hardships. Because I think a lot of people in general, they tend to run from their fears and they tend to run from the things that they haven't faced before. And one of the things that Therese and I have always done is we've embraced each other's love and we've embraced the hardships. We've embraced the beautiful triumphs that we've had, but we do it hand in hand and we do it together, not just in our business, but we do it in our personal lives. And that expands into our family.
Thank you. That's great. Would love to kind of take you guys back just a little bit now that we know what makes you a kick-ass couple. We really believe that we're a product of the people who raised us. So, when we look back into our history and we look back into our childhood, we at that time are really formed by those people that did raise us. And so I'm curious, and I'll ask you first, Jason, what did love look like in your family when you were growing up?
So I'm glad you asked that. This may get a little bit emotional, but love was a challenging thing in my family. In fact, I had some very strong hardships growing up when I was a child. So, and I didn't tell anybody about what I went through for nearly 22 years of my life. In fact, it almost took my life because I was starting to suppress myself with drugs and drinking and alcohol because of the challenges that I went through. And so from the ages of 6 to 9 years old, I was actually beaten, molested, and raped by my mother's boyfriend. And I never told anybody for 22 years. In fact, it wasn't until I met Therese that she's the one who gave me the confidence and the strength to be able to speak about what happened to me as a child. And she was the one who told me, she's like, it's not your fault. What you went through, you should have been protected. You should have been loved better. You should have been in a family that protected you from things like that, and you weren't. And so that's a deeply rooted question, but it definitely tugs at the heart. But, you know, one of the things that I'm very proud of today is that I can speak about that. And there was a long period of time where I could never speak about it. Couldn't even think about it. In fact, I had to suppress those emotions and those things that I went through for so many years because it was just too deep for me to handle. And Therese is actually the one who, she has a way of connecting with people, and she has a way of reaching inside your soul and tugging on those cords to help you to heal from your past trauma. So one of the things that I love about our relationship now is that she's given me the strength to be able to speak about this so that I can actually go out and help others that have gone through the similar thing that I've been through. Because there's a lot of kids out there that aren't saying anything and they're going through the same situations and some of them aren't making out of it. So that I think is, I agree with you that your childhood does form you, and I wouldn't change anything that I've been through. I think that the challenges and the hardships that I went through helped me to become a stronger person today. It helped me to become a better husband, a better lover. It helped me to recognize the lack of love and what that can do to a person.
Thank you so much for opening up and being vulnerable with us and with our for our listeners as well, because as you said, there are so many children, there are adults even that are out there that are in really tough, similar situations. And for you to be able to share that and to really be able to express where you were then and where you are now because of your relationship with Therese and because of the love and the genuine respect. And you know, she said to you, I see you and I love you. So thank you for that. Therese, tell us a little bit about your childhood and how love looked in your family, how you were raised, maybe even how your parents expressed love to each other. What was modeled for you?
Not a whole lot. My dad left my mom from having an affair, and my mom gave him another chance, and we were all waiting for him at the train station, and we watched him pick the other woman. And so with my mom being scorned, it was a lot of love that just wasn't shown. My mom was not loved. She was abused as a child, so she didn't know how to give the love to love us. So it was very lacking. So when I had children, I wanted to make sure I broke that link.
Yeah, we've both come from very difficult childhood upbringings, but you know, I think that as we mentioned, it's something that I think connected us as well and bonded us together. You know, and
that's why we respect it the way that we do.
Yep.
So I'm impressed with what's so amazing to me is to hear two difficult, harrowing stories of love was or was not expressed in your past. So help us understand, how did you two, when you two came together and you formed that relationship that you both fondly talk about being so strong, how do you knit that together? And how do you make that the strength that keeps you going forward? What was it that allowed you guys to make that leap together in love?
I'll let you speak on that one. You're the one who had to make the leap.
So Therese, you're saying it was easy for you because he was so suave and debonair, and right?
It was. I had a lot of trust in it, and like your beautiful wife said, that I saw Jason for Jason, and when I started learning about his past, I was actually shocked. And how he was living his life, because that's not the person that I've ever saw. So it was traumatic for me to go through it along with him, and it was painful. But I've always said that if you don't take hurt with when you're trying to pull somebody through, then they're never going to make it through.
I'm curious, were there any positive things that you took from those experiences? Any positive things that you could bring forward into the relationship that you have now?
That it's possible to overcome, that it's possible to change, that it's possible to break those links, that it's possible to watch somebody who was cut off at the knees learn how to stand up for themselves, and watch him get his strength and watch the strength grow. And while that was happening, the trust for each other grew and grew and grew. I was not welcomed by his family because I was helping him. And
yeah. Yeah. So when Therese and I met, I, like I mentioned, I had gone through some very turbulent times in my life, and I was carrying a lot of weight and baggage that I hadn't shared with anybody yet. And so literally weeks before, you know, I'm on my knees, like praying to God, saying, please help me. Please bring me somebody that's going to help me to overcome the challenges that I'm facing right now, because I know I can't do it alone. And so when Therese and I met, it was just one, a miracle in itself that we crossed each other's paths. The other thing that I think that, it maybe isn't visible, is that Therese and I also have a fairly large age gap between the two of us. Therese is 17 years older than I am. So when she says that my family wasn't welcoming to her, I think a lot of it played a part in the fact that my family saw a big age difference, and they didn't see the love and the support that this woman is providing to me. But you also have to think about what my family had allowed to happen to me as a child. You have to take that into consideration when you think about that too, because this is a mother and a father not taking ownership and accepting the things that they allowed to happen to their child. And that could be a very difficult thing for any mother or any father to hear. And so while I think it's less about Therese and the age difference, I think it's also about the fact that Therese was the one who allowed me to open up and to recognize the pain and the hurt didn't belong to me. And it needed to go, and it needed to be spoken about brought to the surface to the people who did have that responsibility. And I think that's what ultimately severed a relationship between, you know, my mother and father with our relationship.
And I was the one who was having the difficulties with the age difference.
Yeah. Therese always struggled with the age difference. I didn't really struggle with that. So.
Okay, Therese, I'm the older woman in this relationship too.
Nice.
Yeah, I play that a big time, but I'm gonna come clean. She's 3 days older than me.
Oh, okay. There you go.
But I tell everybody, guys, I married an older woman. She's a cougar. She robbed the cradle. And she rolls her eyes and just laughs. And, you know, anyway.
My kids were proud of me.
Yeah, there you go. That's
great. Well, it's interesting because I think what you guys have so beautifully talked about leads us right into the pillars that we have in the lens that we look through and kind of examine and talk about relationships. The first three are what we call the three C's, and they're there on purpose because they're foundational. And the first one is commitment. And I think you all beautifully told what commitment looks like. But I'd love to see and hear from each of you what other ways commitment shows up in your relationship or in your business or in the life that you two share together. Talk to me more about that thread of commitment and how you see it.
To me, the commitment is Jason and I have always been there for each other. And no matter how hard it got when we were going through what we were going through with his family, no matter how hard it got with the adjustments of life and growing and overcoming things outside of our marriage and overcoming things within our marriage. And whenever, if he was having a hard time, I would pick him up and I would inspire him and I would give him the strength. And when I was down, he would do the same thing for me. And we would do that for members of the family as well. But it's like, the commitment is to commit to never, ever take for granted of the relationship that we have and the love that is being given. Our love is like we're putting in each other's hands, and we're asking those hands to make sure that love is safe and taken care of. And not just, you know, you give the love and it's put down somewhere and it collects dust and it's not nurtured. And we want to nurture it. We want to let each person express. If there's a situation where the stress is coming with the business, you know, and I sit him down and I explain how it's affecting me, and how he's handling the stress, I help him overcome the stress. It's a commitment to pull each other through all the hardships, all the happy times, the relationship, the bonding. We have a bond that no matter what happens, that the bond will not break.
Yeah, and I'll add to that too. I think the other thing that, you know, commitment is woven into every decision we make. It's in every breath that you take and every word that you speak, because a single word can break commitments. Yep. A single word can break trust. You know, and so the commitment is literally combined in Therese and I's thought process and everything we do. So we,
and the things that we say to each other,
the things that we say that we, you know, how we treat each other, how we speak to one another. Commitment goes very deep into a relationship for us. And I think that it's definitely a great pillar to have in any relationship. And you have to have commitment, because if you don't have commitment, you don't have trust.
And I think also too that people also need to acknowledge that commitment is this, not like, oh, I'm going to commit to you, I'm not going to cheat on you. To us, it goes way beyond that. You know, everything that you have on your pillars, you know, all the way to number 13 is involved. And when I read those, it's like, these guys are great, you know, and we appreciate what you were doing, how you're doing it. And bringing these podcasts to help other relationships understand that there's more to than these words that we see. It's the depth, it's the emotion, it's the strength, it's you know, the compassion and the sincerity behind it.
I liken it to like learning and speaking a whole new language, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. We are really learning these ways of just the way we communicate with each other, the way that we speak to one another. It's just so important that we're conscientious about it. Like you said, it's just intrinsic. It's every day, every moment.
Yes,
we're really aware of how we're treating each other.
And I love what you said, Therese. It's action. It's not, it's not conceptual, not just words on a page or things we can aspire, but everything, all those pillars that we talk about and that we, and that, you know, are essential, they're due. You got to do them. And it's not just thinking. And that's how they show up in our relationship.
You got to live. Yeah. You got to live them all the time. It's got to be a conscious forefront, you know, and we have boundaries from day one. You know, it's like, if we ever get in an argument or words start flying, there is never, ever, ever any name calling. Ever, or count, you know, or four letter words or anything to belittle or hurt somebody, because you're in that moment and you're kind of like losing the strength of keeping your composure, you know, which we all do. So we have boundaries on that. But then after that, when things cool off, you know, and there's a little time in between, to realize that it is okay to walk up to them and take their hands, which we do all the time, and apologize and say that, you know, you're sorry, you didn't mean to hurt your feelings. And, you know, and that means everything, because you know that apology is sincere. It's not saying, I'm sorry. There's a difference between how you speak and the respect. But to show them, do you really love them? Then apologize like you do. You know, and we treat each other that way every day. Every day, we're
very just, detailed, yes, too. When a situation does arise, it's important for, you know, to express to your spouse why a situation may have come up, like why you're stressed or why you're overwhelmed or what may have caused the fight and the argument. It may have nothing to do with either of us, but right. you know, when you come across that challenge and you come across that fight, it's easy to walk away and just like, you know, take a step back from it. But what Therese and I do is we grab each other's hands and we look into each other's eyes and we, you know, we talk about it and we say, hey, I'm sorry. Here's what, you know, caused this reaction. And I think that's just another layer to build on commitment and build on your relationship is how you respond to challenging situations.
And there's never, ever a competition.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder how you're doing? We found that there are 13 key components that make up a thriving relationship, which is why we've created the Kick-Ass Assessment. In this powerful free tool, you'll learn what they are and how you and your spouse are ranking in each one. And you'll get recommendations that will help you start improving today. To get your results, simply visit MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. It's time to start kicking ass. Let's go.
Well, Matt, you know, that leads us right into our even second and third, you kind of touched on them both, pillars of the three C's. First was commitment. The next is communication and conflict resolution. And you guys just pretty much talked about both of those. Is there an example that you can give our listeners of how you resolve conflict? Maybe you guys have just had a really hot topic and things got heated up. Tell us what you do to sort of get back to your heart rates reducing a little bit. And, you know, maybe you've had a cooling off period. But tell us how it works in your relationship when you've had conflict.
Well, when it gets to a steaming point, I'll just say, you know, we need to stop. Because otherwise we're going to end up hurting each other and we're going to regret it because you're not going to meet it. I believe in no matter what situation that you are in or what degree of frustration that you're in. I'm good at biting my lip because it's not worth hurting the person that you love because of that moment. So, it could be a little different sometimes because Jason carries a lot more stress in with the business than I do, but that's where I just sit him down and it's like, look, you know, we need to do this. If I don't tell you this, you're not going to know how it's affecting me, you know? And it's, so I will tell him. It's like, it's making me feel less of a person. It's making me feel like you know, I'm not equal, you know, and we'll go down. And it's like, and if I don't, and it's, there's sometimes, you know, but like the last time, it's like, you can tell that it was really hard for him to hear, but I told him, if I don't tell you, you're not going to know. And then it's not going to get fixed.
Yeah. And I think to add to that too is, you know, you have to have that open communication.
Yes.
And at the very core of it, there has to be a respect to not want to hurt the other person's feelings and emotions. And that's
the respect to listen.
Yeah.
And the respect to hear.
Yeah. And to act on, you know, a lot of people can hear that they may have made a mistake or they may have said something that hurt somebody's feelings. But it's how you respond and take that information and how you treat that person thereafter. And that's something that Therese and I have built on over the 12 years that we've been married is we've taken every situation and every hardship and every challenge and we've held each other's hands through it. And we had the apologies when the apologies were due.
Yeah. And then in the tears and the looking in each other's eyes and reconnecting that love, that's what brings it back. That's where you honor the love. That's where you honor the person that you're loving, you know, and that's hard for a lot of couples to do, you know, because they're not used to nurturing a love to such a degree that some people hold it, you know, because it is important to take those hands. And Jason does all the time. He'll take my hands and look in my eyes and say what's going on, apologize because it has nothing to do with me, and say, you know, I'm sorry that it's being taken out on you because, you know, we're in a pandemic where, you know, we work in our home. Who else is there? You know? So, and I tell, and I understand that. And so we work out a system. It's like, if you need to vent, tell me you need to vent and just come and vent, you know, instead of lashing out because you're not venting, you know? So we work out systems for certain situations so that way it helps protect each other from hurting each other. We just come up with these routines, you know, to make this, you know, a journey in a marriage that is a blessing every day. And we cherish it and we honor it and we don't ever take it for granted.
Sure. I love some of the things. I want to go back a little bit because I loved when you earlier you said you were talking about some of the rules that you guys, kind of the ground rules that you have. And one of them was no four-letter words. You're not going to belittle or put something. I'd love to hear, do you guys have any other rules or practices that you try to use or you agreements you guys have come to and how you're going to relate and work and with each other?
I don't think we've ever. Yeah, not beyond that. I think it boils down to just the love and respect that we have for one another and wanting to make sure that the other person is feeling equal, making sure the other person is feeling the love and the care and the thought behind it. I think sometimes it just boils down to you're being thought of, you know. Yes. I like,
yep.
So
a thought means everything.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, might seem, well, it's just thought. A thought is priceless. To have somebody know that you're actually thinking of them. When I know Jason's going to be having a really difficult day, I'll say, okay, so do you need anything? And then we come up with a plan. Okay, if you need anything, text me, even though our offices are like side by side, but text me, let me know, you know? So we plan it out to help make his day more pleasant. So, you know, so it has a better outcome.
In addition to the three C's that we just talked about, you have a list of the additional pillars in front of you. We have 13 pillars of success that we've come up with. And I'm just curious, I'm going to ask you, Therese, first, what other pillar stands out most to you that's on this list and why? Why is that pillar particularly important to you?
God, you have a lot of good ones.
Good ones. Yeah.
I'm going to say selflessness. You know, it's like sometimes you just, you know, that's important. That's how you give and take. You know, it's not always thinking, well, I want this. What about me? It's always, you know, it's like, what can I do for you? What can, you know, the sacrifices that you give in a relationship, whether it's a, you know, marriage, partners, friendships, brothers and sisters. I mean, you know, you always, the sacrifice and being selfless is, it's just an amazing, beautiful thing and such a gift to give somebody. And, you know, it's so valuable to show people that, you know, it's like, it's not about receiving. It's about giving. It's about, you know, showing that, you know, you just sacrifice, like, you know, what we went through, you know, it's like, I came out here to help my sister. And I sacrificed being away from my kids, you know, to come out here to help her. And so, and we're big time family people. So it's like the selflessness shows that you're not greedy. You're not, have a life of ego, that it's, you know, that it has to be all about you. It's not value for value relationships. It's just about, you know, giving, kindness, compassion, that to me that lies behind that word, that can change somebody's life.
Yeah, that's powerful, Teresa. And that speaks to your heart.
Yes.
It means so much when you're truly selfless and you're giving to Jason and your family and you expect nothing in return.
Nothing back.
You truly expect nothing in return.
Yep.
You're just happy to do it because you can.
Yep. So. And I hope that it sparks a seed in them. You know, to teach. For to me, to show people about love is to love them correctly. and to love them beyond what people think what love is all about. So that way they know, you know, and to be the best example that you can. And to, in my eyes, I always try my best every day with my children. So I'm a legacy in their eyes of what I taught them.
Jason, what about you? Is there a pillar on this list that stands out to you that's really most important to you, or that tugs at you a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's going to be in alignment with what Therese just said, but it's servant leadership. I think when you have a servant's heart and you put everybody else in front of your needs and your wants, is the greatest gift that you can give to people in your life, whether it be a friend, a spouse, an uncle, whoever it may be. If you have a servant's heart and you serve them with the utmost of wanting to give without wanting to take or receive anything from them, I think that transcends many years, that will stay with them. And people recognize that true servant's heart and servant's leadership over, I'm just in this relationship for me and I'm in it for what I'm going to get out of it. And that's something that Therese and I've never had since we've started our relationship together.
Great point. Well, you both did a wonderful job of sharing with us what's important to you and how you weave it into your relationship. And something that Kim and I believe, and I know that you probably will both relate to as well, is that your relationship, your success in the relationship that you have between the two of you spills over into other areas of your life. Kim and I kind of call that spillover thinking. In other words, if the relationship you have is so good, it's going to obviously impact other areas of your life. So I'd love for you each to think about, how has your relationship done that for other areas of life? How have you been able to take the goodness that the two of you experienced together and see it manifested in other parts of your life?
I can speak on that one. I think the first thing that it bleeds into is, obviously, we have a business, right? And when Therese and I started our business, we did it with the foundation of trust, respect, honesty. A lot of the pillars that you have, you know, in your Kick-Ass Couples Nation, that is something that has always bled into our business. Because if you don't start a relationship, whether it be through a spouse or a business or professional relationship, with some of these pillars like trust, honesty, respect, then you're starting off the business with the wrong mindset, and it's not going to succeed. I think one of the things that has allowed us to have the success that we have in our business is that we truly genuinely care about our clients and our customers. We care about their success. We care about their goals and their aspirations. And we bleed our hearts into, like, and pour our hearts into everything that we do for our clients. And that just doesn't go for just our business, but that's one of the first things for me that it bleeds into, because, you know, we're working from, you know, sometimes 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. at night. And we're in constant communication with, you know, our team members, our coaches, our contractors, you know, our clients. And if you don't carry that same consistent communication, that genuine feel, your clients are going to see it and recognize it. And I think that that's something that attracts a lot of clients to us and the automation agency, is that we genuinely care. And we don't just live this life in our personal life, and then when we walk outside the door, we're completely different people. We are literally the type of people that will take the shirt off of our backs and give it to you if you're cold or if you need warmth or shelter. That's the type of people that we are. And we do that in our business as well.
You're beautiful people, and we're so grateful that you're sharing all these great pearls with us. So thank you. I have another question, and I'm going to start with you, Therese. If there was one piece of advice that you could give to yourself before you were married, what would it be? So you're giving advice to your unmarried self. If you could think of one thing that you would tell yourself, what would that be?
Don't wait so long to stand up for yourself. That's very easy. I was in a very abusive situations, you know, and I settled, you know, which I don't regret, but it shows me that, you know, it's like that I was worth waiting for the right person, and I was worth loving. But when you're growing up in a household that you're not getting a lot of love, that you'll take it where you can find it. And then you're, you know, and you, and I would tell myself to be a little more cautious of then of whether it was real or whether it was a convenient. So yeah, that's what I would tell myself, is to have a little more respect for myself.
Thank you. How about you, Jason? What piece of advice would you give yourself, your unmarried self?
I think it stems primarily from the fact that I held and carried so much within, and I didn't have the strength and the confidence to be able to speak about the things that I had went through. But that, I think, is what is so beautiful about Therese and her gift and her abilities that she has. And for me, had I not met Therese, I think I still would have been in a dire situation where I was challenged because I didn't have the right person, the right mentor, right? Somebody who actually showed me and cared that what I was going through was not the normalcy and it didn't belong to me. And so I think that to answer your question in short, it would have been to try and release that information sooner and try and release what I had endured sooner so that I didn't have to live through so many more years of trauma and I didn't have to wait later in life to finally get the relief and to see clear. And that would be the advice that I would have gave to myself.
You guys have done a wonderful job of being open and sharing with us from your soul and your experience. And it's undoubtedly going to bless those that are listening with us today. As we kind of come to a close of the main part of our interview, we do have some other stuff to talk to you about, but we'd like to know, where can we find you? And, you know, tell us about your business, Therese. I see a copy of that. Is that your book right there that you wrote?
Yeah. Yes, there. It is.
And so
yes,
we'd love to share with our listeners, if they want to learn more about you or what you do, where's the best place for them to find you?
TheresaBenedict.com is her website.
Or Facebook. Yeah. They can find me on Facebook.
Yeah.
Under Therese Benedict.
Yeah. But her book is also called Days Go By, Not Love. It's also a number one best-selling book on Amazon.
Or they can go to my email. They can write me through my email.
Yeah. So if they go to TheresaBenedict.com, you can contact Therese through there and submit information. But Therese is a number one best-selling author. She's also a clairvoyant and medium. So she's been, you know, she's had the gifts since she was a child. So I'll let you speak to that. I mean, you.
Well, that's okay. I didn't expect that to come up, but yeah. That's why I always knew that there was something special about me when I was a young child. And I just always knew that I was here to help people. I just couldn't figure out how. And when I was, 11, 12, I used to think of how I was supposed to be. I wanted to be an EMT. I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to, you know, I was thinking all these ways that I was supposed to help people. But at the same time, I knew that's not the way that I was supposed to help people. So later on in life, I thought that I was doing everything everybody else had the ability to do and feel people, what they were going through. I always, you know, just feeling your own energy. I used to lay in bed all the time and just feel my energy and close my eyes and, you know, knew who to hang out with, knew, you know, while I was at school. But I always felt kind of like put to the side. While I was in school, I always felt like I just didn't belong. That's not where, you know, I just wasn't on the popular side. And I always felt separate from some way, somehow. And it was just something that I didn't quite understand while I was growing up. So I finally learned, you know, by asking questions, it's like, don't you feel what I'm feeling? I can feel that you're doing this and this and this and this. Don't you feel what I'm feeling? And they would go, no. And that's when I start realizing it's like, oh, well, So, so it was a process, but it's like, but I was always somebody that always felt really deep in the core that I could love the world and I would always have more love to give. So it was just, I just love loving people. I don't know how else to put it.
That's a wonderful gift. Yeah. And the fact that you're able to share it with others and write about it is a wonderful gift to everybody else that you come into contact with.
Yeah, it's just like, and I think that's one reason why we try so hard not to hurt each other is because nobody likes pain, you know? So if we don't like pain, why are we so willing to give it to others? So so that's also important to me. So I always love talking about these things. I always love writing about these things, teaching about these situations, because it brings such a clarity to people. It's like, why, why would you think that you have, the okay and the permission to scar somebody else's heart for the rest of their life? What makes you think that that's okay? Sometimes it's hard for me to comprehend how somebody can actually do that to somebody else's, life, because it affects them the rest of their life and they battle that for the rest of their life. And to okay doing that to somebody's life, it just boggles my mind.
And I think too, I want to add to Therese, because she's a very humble person and a very modest person. So she doesn't really speak too much about herself and her abilities. So I think as her husband, having met her and having changed, she literally changed my life. And so I think, for your listeners, one thing that, I would recommend to them is that, if they're feeling any form of, selflessness, or they're feeling self-doubt and self-worth, Therese has the ability to truly connect with any individual and to help to uncover and identify the things that are causing the pain and the things that are causing issues, and to help you to work through these situations. And that's what I've loved about her from the very day one, is I fell in love with her gift and her ability and the way that she treats people. You can feel the difference when you speak with her and you connect with her one-on-one, and even in an intimate relationship with her. I've always felt that Therese has been amazingly different in so many different directions that it impacted my life in such a way that I won't ever forget the changes and the transformation that I've been through with her. And that's, again, I think what makes us a kick-ass couple.
Yeah, but you guys are a beautiful couple. You are. You're truly a beautiful couple. And
thank you.
I'm so grateful that you agreed to be on this podcast, because I think our listeners really gleaned a lot from this episode. You guys really showed up today and you were vulnerable and open, and you really let us see your souls. And we're really grateful for that. And we appreciate that. So
thank you, Cal.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being with us today, guys. We're so grateful.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's upcoming book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away.
Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.